And if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, please turn to Jonah chapter 4. That's where we will be this morning. I tend to read through all the verses as we go, so I won't read it first as a Bible reading. Jonah chapter 4. And we will, after Jonah, we'll be back to Hebrews to finish that off. So not far to go with Hebrews. But before we begin, let's ask for God's blessing to be upon us. Oh, Father, we want to thank you that we have your word. And Lord, there are so many things in it. The more we dig into it, the more we discover. And Lord, as we stop and consider just some of the things that you have here for us, as we consider the life of your prophet, I pray that, Lord, it will be a stark reminder of how we live. And Father, what we consider to be important as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. An emotion that all of us are very familiar with is the emotion of anger. Some get angry easily. Some take a while to get angry. Some people get angry a lot. Some only get angry every now and then. But we all know what it feels like, so I don't have to explain it to you. Another emotion that we're all very well aware of is the feeling of sadness. We all get sad at various times of the day and also within our life. Another feeling that isn't as common but still very real is the feeling of wanting to die. Some people get to the point where they just want to die. And sometimes all three emotions go together. Something happens in your life and you get angry. And then when the anger settles down, you feel sad. And then when or if the sadness sets in, you can even wish that you could die. And this sequence of events can happen to anybody. It can happen to a king, to a pauper. It can happen to a young person, to an elderly person. And we discover here in chapter 4 that it can even happen to prophets. And I can tell you, I've experienced all those feelings over the years. And so Jonah also, we discover here in chapter 4, experienced these things. He expressed these three emotions. And in the space of 7 verses, we find him feeling angry, sad, and wanting to die twice. Not just once, but twice. And for 2 different reasons as well. Seems to be a pattern going there with Jonah. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at chapter 4 and what happened in regards to Jonah and look at God's dealings with his prophet as he experienced these feelings and see if there are certainly some things that we can apply to our daily life. Now in verses 1 to 3 we see the first occasion where these emotions took place. And I have called this Jonah's rage with God. To get the setting before we read those verses, we discover that Jonah obeyed God finally and went and preached at Nineveh. And they heard the gospel, that good news that God, well, they heard that God was going to destroy them. And they heard that, they believed the message, they called on the Lord for mercy, and the Lord showed mercy to them. And if I've got my facts right and what the commentators tell me, around about 600,000 people were spared from being destroyed by the hand of God. So that's a lot of people. If I went and preached somewhere and 600,000 people got saved, I'd be pretty excited. Now, that'd be very exciting. But we see that Jonah, it'd be very scary to preach to that many people, but it'd be exciting to see that many people get saved. But we see here that Jonah wasn't, and we read that in verses 1 to 3. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And so when God showed mercy to these Assyrians, Jonah wasn't happy. In fact, he was angry. Now, it doesn't say here that he was directly angry with God, but he was angry with the outcome, which was God's doing. And so he was angry with what God allowed to happen when he went to preach. He went to preach, he told them the news, and God showed mercy, and they were spared. And he was angry with that. Now, Jonah thought that he knew better than God. In fact, he was thinking, if I was God, I would do things differently. In fact, if I was God, I would do things better. If I was God, I would have destroyed those despicable people and I would have sent judgment upon them. If Jonah was God, that's how he would have acted. And he was angry because God wasn't acting the same way as what he thought would be best. And I've discovered that often the anger that we have and the sadness that we feel is a result of acting the exact same way as Jonah acted here. We don't like what God has allowed to happen in our life, and so we get angry about it, or we get sad about it. We don't like the circumstances that God has allowed us to be in life, and so it generates these feelings. Sometimes just very basic ones. The car breaking down 3 hours into a holiday trip can generate some anger. I can tell you. Mine was exhaust pipes falling off, but still, same thing. That's when I had a Holden. But I'm all right now. I've got a Ford. No problems. Or you're just going to... You've prepared, and I'm thankful that Shelley didn't do this, but prepared a lovely garden wedding. And then it pours down rain that whole day. That would bring some anger and some sadness as well. And there are a numerous amount of circumstances in life where things happen and you could say to yourself, if I was God, I would have done things differently. I would have made sure that things happened differently. And so we disagree with the way that we allow God and His sovereignty to allow things to unfold. Just like Jonah. We feel just like him. He was angry. And so, he wanted to die. In fact, he asked God to take his life because he thought it would be better to die than to actually have to sit there and see those Ninevites live. That's how sad he got. And I dare say, if the Lord wasn't patient and merciful and slow to anger, I'm sure he would have granted this stubborn, selfish servant his wish. Jonah can be very thankful that God was a very patient God and very merciful and slow to anger. Because instead of granting him his wish, instead the Lord takes the time in his mercy to show Jonah why he didn't destroy the Ninevites. And so he teaches his prophet a lesson and he gives him a real life object lesson. Children, in one way, they love object lessons. It helps you to picture things a little bit clearer. Adults often like it as well. And the Lord showed Jonah an object lesson as well. And this leads us to the second occasion where Jonah felt these three emotions of anger, sadness, and despair. And so what we have is two occasions where he had these feelings. The first one, as I said, was Jonah got angry because God spared around 600,000 people. 600,000 people who he created in his image, who he fearfully and wonderfully made, people who he loved as he loves the whole world, who have eternal souls, who when they die, they still live on. And God showed mercy to them, and this got Jonah angry and sad and suicidal. That's the first reason he got angry. But then Jonah gets angry and sad and wants to die for another reason. And that is, he expresses all of these feelings over a plant. It's called a gourd. It's a plant with nice big leaves on it that grew up and then withered away and died. And so Jonah had no sympathy or pity or concern for 600,000 people and their eternal destiny. But he was stricken with grief over a plant. Now, does that seem rather unbalanced to you? Does a gourd or a plant seem rather insignificant compared to 600,000 people? I was thinking, I thought we still had those plants. I guess they all died. They did die, right? But I was thinking they were still here. But remember when we had those nice little ferns? If I had one of those nice little ferns there, and then I got 10 of the children within this church and stood there, and I say, now which one do we want to care more for? If we have to feed one, do we feed the plant or do we feed the children? If we have to let one die, do we let the plant die or do we let the 10 children die? I don't think we even have to sort of think about it, do we? It depends how frustrating they were that week, I guess. But no. It's still there is no comparison. We wouldn't want our children to die. We'd be happy to let the plant die. If the plant died, okay. But if they all died, great sorrow. Great, great sorrow. And sadly, we see that Jonah got angry with God for caring for not 10, but 600,000 souls. But Jonah felt justified and sad over a plant, but not caring for those souls. And if you put the plant and the people side by side, then you realize how ridiculous that is. And this is what God is about to show him. Let's jump to the conclusion of the object lesson. It's found in verse 10 and 11. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? And so, now if you want to work out the 60 and try and work out how many are there, the commentators say that we work out properly around about, when we're talking about that, around about 600,000 people. But God says, you had pity on a plant. And so surely I should be able to have pity on all these souls, these eternal souls. And as I stopped and considered the lesson that the Lord was trying to get Jonah, or give Jonah, I began to ask myself, well, what makes me angry? What gets me sad? You ask yourself that question this week. What has got you angry? And what's made you sad? And I realized that as I thought about this, I realized I'm more like Jonah than what I'd like to admit. Because I get very sad and I get very angry over trivial things a lot of the time. Things that don't really matter. Things that aren't going to last. Things that you would have to put into the category of a gourd, a plant. Where the things that make God angry, the things that make God sad, I often don't even give a second thought to. And this object lesson that God gave Jonah showed me that I too am very easily quick to lose sight of what's important. Because my focus often is on the gourds of my life rather than the things that are important in the sight of God. Just like Jonah. And that's what we discover here. If you want to know the conclusion, that's the conclusion. Now we're going to look at the actual object lesson as we see it here. And we see here, as a second point, Jonah's ruined retreat. And that's found in verses 5 to 8a. Let me read verse 5 to you. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would come of the city. And so after preaching to the people, he went up out of the city, up onto a hill, and he sat there, and while he was waiting there to see what God would do, he made a booth, or a little cubby house. And there he sat in his little cubby house. And while Jonah was there, we're told that God prepared three things for Jonah. God in his foreknowledge and also his sovereignty had planned to send three things to the life of Jonah. All three were God's will for Jonah. We don't have to doubt that. All three were God's will. All three were prepared specifically for this man. First thing we see that God prepared for Jonah while he was in his little retreat is found in verse 6. It says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd." Seems that Jonah's little booth, his little cubby house, was a little bit like mine, a little bit shabby, and didn't quite provide as much shade as what he really needed. And so the Lord prepared a gourd to grow over him that night. And notice three things about the gourd. These are important to take note of. First of all, it was prepared by God. This wasn't just a fluke that this thing just so happened to grow up. It wasn't just a little bit of good luck. This was God's doing. God wanted him to have this thing. God saw him there and thought, "I will provide this for you." Secondly, we see its purpose was to bring comfort to Jonah. It says that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. The Lord saw how miserable Jonah was, and he could see that he needed some comforting. And so the Lord, in his mercy, said, "I will allow this gourd to grow up, and I'll bring a little bit of shade to him, a little bit of comfort to him." And so the Lord provided some temporal blessing right there for Jonah. And so it wasn't there for any other reason than for God to show his goodness to his servant. And we see here the outcome was it produced gladness. It says there in the last part of that verse, in verse 6, "So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd." He was one happy prophet. He didn't take much to make happy. He just got a big plant grow up and give him some shade. But it produced the outcome that God was wanting, and that is God wanted to make his prophet happy. And so this gourd was a blessing from the Lord with the intentions of comforting him and helping him. And it made him glad. And you know, if we stop there and we compare that to us, the fact is each one of us don't just have one gourd in our life. We have lots of gourds, if we want to talk in that term. Blessings from God. Things that make us happy. All that is good in our life is from God. Over in James chapter 1, we read this. In James chapter 1, it says there in verse 17, "Every good gift," all right, not some or most, but "every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And so, it's when we have wonderful things in our life that bring us pleasure and joy and comfort and happiness, this isn't a little bit of bad luck, or good luck, this isn't a coincidence, this is God in his mercy giving us things. God does give us good things and blessings. You look at Abraham and the amount of blessings he enjoyed. You look at Job and the amount of blessings he enjoyed. There are blessings for the children of God. And it's certainly not a prosperity gospel that, you know, if you're living right, God will make sure you're rich and famous. But we can enjoy lots of blessings in this earth. There are many things that bring us comfort. When we go home today, we're going to enjoy various comforts. If it's the house we have, or the lounges that we enjoy, or the food that we get to eat, or whatever it may be, we have blessings. And particularly in a country like Australia, we have lots of gourds. Lots of them. We just don't have one like Jonah had. We have dozens, if not thousands. And it can change and vary depending on who we are. I know my mother used to have a little cabinet, a china cabinet, you know, with all the little china cups and saucers and all these special things that she would only bring out for special visitors. you know, and everyone's got to sit there and try and put your finger between, you know, they don't make it big enough, you know, you just try and hold the thing, you know, while you're drinking a cup of tea. But she had a cabinet full of those things, and they were like little gourds to her, little things that brought her pleasure. That's all they were, temporal blessings. Dad, on the other hand, he liked watches. You know, he got a, he probably got about 10 in his drawer, and you get him a watch for Christmas and he loves it. He fiddles around with all the buttons and he looks at it and he loves watches. And then he gets a little fob watch and he has a fob watch. And you know, I never had to buy a watch. I just got one of the old ones he got sick of, you know, for years. And every time I went home, I took another watch. I don't like them now, but he loves watches. Now, is that bad? No. Just a little gourd or a few gourds in his life. And, you know, these blessings can range from a car. We've quite a number of us that have got gourds out there. Some of us aren't too keen on our gourds, but others love our gourds out there. And they polish them and look after them, don't want anyone to touch them and so on. They're very particular about their gourd in the form of a car. Or it could be a computer or a sewing machine or a swimming pool. Blessings that come from the hand of God for us to enjoy in this world. The only problem with gourds are we can get very attached to them. And we expect them to last forever as well. We actually think that we're in heaven. And we think that these blessings are meant to live forever. And they never cease. And so we get very attached to them. And they are very special to them. And we don't want anything to happen to them. We are very particular about them. And this was the case with Jonah. Yes, he enjoyed the blessing, but he thought it was going to last forever. But it didn't, because in verse 7, we see that God prepared something else for him, just as much his will, God's will, as the gourd. It says in verse 7 there, "But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered." So now God prepared a worm and sent him a worm. So just like it was God's will to provide the gourd, now it was God's will to take it away by means of this worm. Now, that's one part of God's will we're not too particular about, are we? We love it when he actually sends us blessings. But if he sends something to take away our gourd, that's when we're not too keen about God's will for our life. We don't say, "God, I'm just happy for whatever you send in my path." That's all right when it's all gourds, but it's not so good when it's something that takes away one of our gourds. And we forget that these things are only temporal blessings. This isn't heaven, this is earth, and things do not last forever here in the form of the material things. But in God's wisdom, and for some reason, sometimes he removes the gourds and the blessings in life. Sometimes to teach us a lesson. Sometimes to get our attention. Sometimes to move us on. Sometimes to make way for something else to come into our life. Sometimes it's just time for it to end. Because it isn't eternal. But it is always for our good, and it is always to bring glory to God. And that's what happened to Jonah. God removed his gourd. But the Lord hadn't finished with him yet, because the Lord prepared something else. And it says there in the first part of verse 8, "And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind." Vehement means quiet and hot. East wind. And so, he didn't just lose his shade, he didn't just lose his gourd, but also things got even harder for him. He not only lost the blessing of the gourd and the shade that it brought, but God replaced it with a hot, vehement wind as well. And so these are the three things that God prepared for Jonah. Three things that God wanted him to have in his life while he was camped there in his little retreat. And so his little retreat got ruined. And after seeing Jonah's ruined retreat, we see Jonah's response in the last part of verse 8. says there, "And the sun beat upon his head," the head of Jonah, "that he fainted, and he wished in himself to die, and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" So Jonah's response to losing this gourd was he got angry. We see that in the following verse. Obviously miserable and wanted to die. The second time, he seemed to be a very emotional person. "I'm angry, I'm sad, I want to die. I'm angry, I'm sad, I want to die." You know, it happened very quickly in the space of probably a couple of days or a day. And Jonah reacted the same way we usually react when we lose one of our gourds. Isn't it true that we get angry when we find something that has brought us such joy, we find that it's broken? Or we lose it? Or it's been stolen? Never happened, thankfully, but I guarantee you, if I went in there with a soccer ball bouncing my ball into our lounge room or dining room and it got away on me and it smashed into that china cabinet and smashed the glass and all those cups and saucers went down and crashed into pieces, if that happened, I guarantee my mum would have been very angry. Right? Her gourds were smashed. I know when we were on holidays, my father only mentioned it this week. He's saying how when he goes on holidays, he remembers he used to love having making a model aeroplane or ship, and he would spend all holidays, that was his little getaway, building this ship and painting it. Now, I know that. I told him, yeah, I remember those things. I despise them because all you did was spend time with that stupid ship and didn't spend any time with me on holidays. Oh, so I just... maybe a little bit too late, but good lesson learnt, man. When you go on holiday, spend it with your family. Don't spend it on a little model, all right? But he was spending, we were on holiday for 2 weeks, and he spent, built, had this ship about this big. He was putting it, and I'd say, "Dad, can I help?" "No, go away, go away," you know. And he'd want me to, "I'd want to stick one little thing on." He wouldn't let me come near it. He wouldn't let me paint it. You know, I wanted to help paint. "No, no, no, no." This was his little project. And so at the end, when we were packing up, he took this model. It did look good, and he put it in the back of the... he should have known better, but he put it at the back of the seat so it wouldn't get hurt. Now, it took him a couple of hours to pack the car. It was a really hot day, and the sun beat down, and it actually melted that ship, and it all buckled up. And I remember seeing Dad's face when he saw that ship all buckled. It was like the end of the world. He was angry. And he was sad. I don't know if he wanted to die, but he certainly was angry and sad. I'm there happy. I'm so glad that thing melted. You know, I was happy as a kid, but you could see the distress after losing his gourd. When something is very important to us and we lose it or it gets damaged, we do react like that, don't we? Remember, I won't mention which child, but went to a friend's place and they... had bought a brand new lounge. It was only, you know, it wasn't leather. And brand new lounge. And we need to change a nappy. And didn't know too much about changing nappies back then. And I did it on the lounge. Only to discover other things happen when you open up the nappy. Went all over their lounge. We weren't sort of their most favourite people after that. After we... sort of damaged their gourd in the form of a lounge. And so that happens. We can so quickly get angry and feel sad, or anger or sadness. You know, the house pet dies, there's sadness there. You miss out on the job that you really wanted, there's sadness there. Lunch burns, and there's sadness there. These emotions stir up very quickly in us, just like they did with Jonah. And when it happened to Jonah, and when it happens to us, it actually reveals how we react when something that we cherish gets hurt or we lose it. That's all it does. In many ways, we are emotional beings, and that's how we react to life. We're not to go there and nothing affects us ever, ever, ever. You know, if something gets scratched or burnt or whatever, yes, that's how we react when something that we care about gets hurt or gets lost or broken. That in itself isn't wrong, but what it does do is expose our lack of love and our lack of passion for the things that God is passionate about. Because we can get very, very upset over losing a gourd of some sort, but we don't think twice about eternal things. Things that matters to God. And that's the difference. That's what God, why God rebukes Jonah. It says in verse 9, "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death." He hadn't got the picture. Lord says, is it really worth getting angry over just a silly plant? Is it that important to make you so sad? Is that where all your passion and love is? That you get sad over something like that? And I'm sure that God often feels the same way with us. When he sees us chucking a little tanty over something because we're not happy with what happened here or what happened there and we're all sad and angry and destitute, does God in heaven look at us and say, is it really worth getting angry over such a trivial thing as that? And if we were to be truthful, we would respond the same way. Yes, it is worth it. When the reality is, it probably isn't. There are far more things more important to get angry about and sad about. And this highlighted a serious problem with Jonah, and it often highlights a very serious problem with us, and that is we can get upset over scratches and dings and things that break in regards to our gourds, these temporal blessings. We get so sad when we lose them, but never think twice. Never shed a tear. Never have an ounce of sorrow or anger for the things that God is sad about and the things that God gets angry about. And it reveals how selfish we have become. You know, we're told that God is angry with wickedness. He is furious with it. But do we get angry over sin in our own life? Sin in this world? Do we get just as angry? We're told that the Holy Spirit is grieved by our sin. God hates sin. Do we get grieved and sorrow over that? Are we sad when we see or hear of people plummeting into eternity without Christ? You know, God is concerned for the eternal souls, or he was concerned about the eternal souls in Nineveh, where Jonah didn't care less about them, he was more interested in his plant. How often is God so concerned about the eternal souls in our country, where we're more interested and focused on our little gourds, and that's all that matters also. And the thought of an eternal soul going to hell doesn't even bother us. Doesn't generate the same passion as if we went out there and discovered that someone had run a coin down the side of our car. Oh, we'd be very upset about that. But someone dying, going to hell? Oh, well. You know, I don't know if these figures are exactly right now, but in Australia, one death occurs every 4 minutes. That's been a few people gone into eternity just in our country in the course of this hour. 360 deaths per day in our country. 131,000 at least every year. Just in our country. How do you think that makes God feel when the majority of these souls are going to hell? I dare say he's sad to see them lost forever. I dare say he's angry if they never got told the gospel. When you compare what the Lord is concerned about to what we will go home and be very concerned about this week, does it seem a little bit unbalanced? The passion that rises in us when one of our gourds are threatened or damaged, compared to the passion that we have for people's eternal souls, does that seem a little unbalanced as well? And I'm sure at times when we're angry or sad over the loss of our gourd, the Lord says, "Doest thou well to be angry? Is it really worth getting angry over that?" We can get very selfish and hard-hearted. You know, I remember listening to a pastor who was a missionary in El Salvador, I think it was, in the Civil War. And he was saying that on the way to church, him and his wife and his, I think it was two children, they nearly every week would get held up by the body truck. How people would come and drag out the dead people who had been killed that evening before through the violence that was just taking place in the Civil War. And we could see that in Syria now and Libya and same sort of thing. And they would be held up with that and they would see it as they're heading to church and they weren't even touched by it. Then he said one day they got home and they found out that their little puppy had died. And their daughters were crying, the wife was crying, and he was crying over their little puppy dying. And he's laid in bed that night, he thought of Jonah and the gourd. And it made him realize how hard his heart had truly got. That he could weep over a puppy, but not think twice about people's souls. And you know, when you stop and reflect on what has been making you angry this week, or sad this week, maybe even feeling like you want to die, maybe it's a reflection of how selfish you are. And you need to ask yourself, or God says, doest thou well to be angry? And start focusing on the things that make God angry and sad. If we have the mind of Christ, we will be angry with sin. And we will be sad by the outcome of it. We'll be very sad about the lost. And when it comes to the blessings, those gourds that we do get to enjoy, they are a blessing from God and we give thanks to Him. And we're thankful for them, but we accept His dealings with us as fair and good when He chooses to take them away. But the question is, what makes you angry? And what makes you sad? Shame is what makes God angry and makes Him sad. Or have you lost focus like that prophet Jonah has? I think that's a timely reminder for all of us, particularly when we are surrounded by so many gourds. It's very easy to lose sight of what's important. Let's pray. Father, we know that when we reach heaven and we're with you for eternity, we will not need convincing of what is really important in life. But Lord, I pray that we may, through your word and through the illumination of your spirit, have a glimpse of that now and put into the right priorities the things in our life. That, Lord, we are to seek first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness and all these other things that are here for our taking. You will give and take as you see fit. But Lord, I pray that we will have a zeal for eternal things and those things that are important to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.